On the Mishnah in Kuf Lamed Aleph on the base, the Mishnah considers the surgery we do when we form the rib. The Mishnah considers the baby ochelu she'esh b'sakona on the first day. So even if there's no hot water from Erev Shabbos, we permit the Yisrael, Nesha Sakona Hulo, the Gemara says, we permit heating up the water on Shabbos to bathe the baby with warm water after the bris to prevent infection. That's considered a sofik sakana. The Shulchan Aruch says that b'zman is that we don't do it, so we don't consider it a sakana anymore. For whatever reason, either it was never a sakana or mishtan hatvoim, whatever the story is. On the third day, it's a machloikas hatanoim. Rav Blozer ben Azariah is quoted the Mishnah saying that the third day is considered a sakana. Here the Rishonim have a machloikas, and we pass like Rav Blozer ben Azariah, the Gemara says. So here the Rishonim have a machloikas does mean even the third day. The first day for sure is a sakana, that they all agree. The second day is a little less of a sakana, and even the third day is also a sakana. Oh no, only the first day and the third day. So Rashi says even the third day. The second day, l'chola day, says a sakana. The third day is a machloikas hatanan. And other Rishonim disagree. Okay, by Yosef says not nageya. We have to, we consult the doctors of our generation to determine what's considered a sakana. Okay. Then the Mishnah says that mila b'zmana is derech Shabbos only if it's a radai. If it's a sofik, sofik for androgynous, you're not mechal Shabbos because androgynous is a sofik zocha, sofik b'keva. Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yehuda Mata b'androgynous, Rabbi Yehuda, he agrees in Kol HaTorah Kula that androgynous is a sofik zocha, sofik b'keva. He has both Eva HaZachris and Eva HaNaklus, and Kol HaTorah Kula, both by behemoths and by human beings, he considers it a suffix sakana only by bris mila, because he has a gzeres akosav. That's how the Gemara says on Kuf Lamed Vav on the base, right in the middle of the Yom, but after they quote the caption from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Mater, lo la kolam Rabbi Yehuda Andregen is zochahu. He doesn't say in Kol HaTorah Kula, only by bris mila. And the Gemara proves that it's so. Okay. In Kol HaTorah Kula, he's masking that it's considered a suffix. There's a famous Tosfos. Azacha v'loitum from Avaya Dreganis. Tosfos there has an interesting discussion. When you have a Gzeres HaKosov, that's Mamayat the Suffolk. What kind of a Suffolk are you talking about? There are two types of Sveikas that we have today. We have a Suffolk in Metzias. We don't know what the facts are. We have a Sveik of the Din, and we're not sure what the Din is. So we're human beings, so we don't know what the facts are, and a lot of times we're not so learned, so we don't know what the din is. But Tosfos says you're not going to have a pasuk that's going to tell you how to paskin when you have a sveik at a din. The Torah knows that we're human beings, and we're not going to know all the facts. But the Torah is not going to tell us how to paskin when we have a sveik at a din. Sit down and break your head and figure out what the din is. That's a famous line in Tosfos there. All right, the rest of the Tosfos negate us. That's dumb interesting. That's why we assume that Safik Arla, Chutz Loretz is Mutter. It's a Mishnah, Mishnais Arla. When you plant a tree, so the pears that grow, if pears grow, the pears that grow the first 3 years are Arla, you're not allowed to eat it. Then the pears that grow the fourth year have a din of Netter Revai, supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim. And if it's too much of a Tircha, then you Poida. So you Poida the Netter Revai. So the Mishnah in the end of the first Perek in Kedusha makes a statement that all mitzvahs are tlius ba'aretz only apply in Eretz Yisrael, with very few exceptions to the rule. So Chodesh is one exception. Chodesh applies even in Chutz Loretz. That's a machlekes hatanai, whether that's the Rais or the Rabbanim. And then it says that Orlo is noig in Chutz Loretz, mehalocha. So that's also a machlekes in the Gemara. What do you mean mehalocha? It means that it's halocha l'moshe misinai, which means that it's the Rais, or mehilchas medina, which means only with the Rabbanim. It's not the same. That's a machlekes hamarayim. What Orlo b'chutz Loretz is halocha l'moshe misinai, or it's midirabbanon, it's a machlekes hamarayim. Where the chodesh b'chutz Loretz is daris midirabbanon, that's a machlekes hatanayim, and a machlekes avishayim had a paskin. So the Gemara says there in Brachas on Daf Lamed Vav that safek Orlo b'chutz Loretz is mutter, both a safek in mitzias and a safek in adi. Let's say you don't know which tree is Orlo and which tree is not Orlo. I was just in Eretz Yisrael, so I see why you don't know which tree is Orla, which tree is not Orla. They were showing me a kerem. A balabos from the New York area purchased a vineyard. So he shows me the kerem, and he shows me this whole section was planted last year, and that section was planted 2 years ago. This section was planted 3 years ago. So when they plant the kerem, So sometimes it doesn't take. So in the middle of a whole patch, where you have everything is already in the third year, there's something going to be there that's in the second year because they had to plant it over. And after 1 year, they realized that it didn't grow well. You have rows and rows and rows of krumim, and then they have a couple of things that didn't take, so they had to plant it again. So they put a label around it. So then, so they have to rely on. So I was the one they're relying on the fellow, on the farmer who's not such a shema mitzvah. So I don't know if he's medaktik in kashrus. So they're relying on him. So he says no. He has the hashgach of the badatz, and he says the badatz watches by satellite. They see everything where they're planting something anew, and they don't have to rely on the fellow. They know on their own. They sit in their office in Yerushalayim, and they watch and they see what had to be planted over again. So I can see where you can have if you don't have a satellite watching, I can see where you can have a Suffolk Arla. The whole Shetach is in the third year, and there's one Netiya that's in the second year. So they put a label. They put a wrapper around the bottom of that shoot, and the wrapper can fall off. So if you have it, if you're monitoring it by satellite, so it's not going to fall off. You're going to have records of everything. If you're not monitoring with satellite, so you can forget. So Sofer Karlub Chutzlort is mutter. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, Bishleima, the Gemara in Kedushin asked, Bishleima, if you hold Arlub Chutzlort, it's only with the Rabbanan. So you understand why Sofik Lukula. But if you hold Arlub Chutzlort, it's Halacha Moshe Messinai. So that means that is deraisa. So why is fekel hakel? The Gemara says kach nemer halacha. That's the way the halacha of Moshe Messina was formulated. Vado oser and sveka muta. Sofik is muta. So the Gemara talks about two types of svekas. One sofik, I don't know which tree is the orla. I forgot. I lost track. Or I planted it a couple of years ago. I don't remember. I never wrote down when. I don't remember whether I planted it. If you plant it after Tu B'Av, if you plant a tree after Tu B'Av, then the Gemara says it takes around 14, 15 days to take root, and then Shloshon Yom Bashana Kriyim Shana. So if you plant something before Tu B'Av, so those 45 days count as the first year for Orla, and then the next full year, the next 4 years, the second and the third years, so you finish with the Orla. But if you plant after Tu B'Av, so then... the first year is going to be the next year, so you lost a lot of time. Tu B'Av, because from Tu B'Av till Elo, you have 15 days. 14 days takes 14 days to take root, for a sapling to take root. And you have Shloshim Yom Hashana Kriyim Shana, the whole Chodesh Elo, so you have 30 days. So you have to make sure you plant it before Tu B'Av, so you marviach a year. The 45 days at the end of the year, from Tu B'Av till Rosh Hashanah, is 45 days. So those 45 days, after it takes root 2 weeks, and then the 30 days count, Shalshan Vashana Kriyim Shana. So let's say the fellow planted, he didn't remember whether he planted it before Tu B'Av or after Tu B'Av. So he doesn't always look on a calendar to know what day of the month it is. I don't know, most of the time, I don't know, I usually know what day of the week it is. I don't know what day of the month it is. Who takes the cheshbon? So he doesn't remember what day it was that he planted this tree. So that'll also be a Sofik Arla. So the Gemara is beferish, the Sofik Arla B'chutz Laretz is lahakel, not only a Sofik in Metzias, you don't know which is the tree that's Arla, or you don't know, you don't remember when you planted it, how many years ago, where they planted it, before Tu B'Av, after Tu B'Av, even a Sveik at Adina. The Gemara says, Kol HaMekol Ba'aretz, Halacha K'masa B'chutz Laretz, whenever there's a Machlekes HaTanoim. Even though in Eretz Yisrael we would pass in Lechumre, because let's say Yochid Ve'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim, the Rabim say Lechumre is a Din of Arla. But when it comes to Orla v'chutz laretz, we would paskin l'kula, like the Shitas HaYochid. Why? Because it's a Sofik Koldu. It's not a real 50-50 Sofik. It's Yochid V'Rab Malach HaKirab. It's not, strictly speaking, not a Sofik. So the Ran on the Rif at the end of the first Perek in Kedushin explains, when you have a Machleg, it's Yochid V'Rabim, is considered a Sofik Koldu. So Sofik Koldu, less than 50-50, is enough to be Mekom. So that's interesting. There's a halacha l'moshe misina that you go the hakel even on the sveka the dina. Does not contradict what Tosfos said over here. Tosfos says the halacha, the chumash, is not going to tell you how you paskin in a case when you have a sveka the dina. Break your head and don't have a sveka the dina. Get all the rabbis together and let them come up with a maskana. A sofik and mitzias, the Torah knows we're only human beings. We can't know all the facts. But a sofik and din, we should never have a sofik and din. Why should we have a sofik? Get everybody convene, all the rabbanim in the world, and argue it out till they come to a maskana. So how can the Gemara say over there that kol ha'mekol bar, kol ha'mekol bar, it's halacha k'masa b'chutz la'aretz, is also included in Safek Arla B'chutzlos, but that's a Sveik Edina, that's not a Safek in Metzias. So there's a Rashi there in Brachas on Daf Lamed Vav, a striking Rashi. Rashi says on that Gemara, why is Kalamekal Barz Halacha Kamasa B'chutzlos? Because Arla B'chutzlos is only Midirabbanan. Why did Rashi say that? The Gemara in Kiddushin asks, there's a machleika, it's Amaroyim, whether Arla B'chutzlos is Halacha L'mashim Sin Adirabbanan. So the Gemara asks from the Mishnah, in Orla it says Safek Arla B'chutzlos Mutter, so it does not prove that it's only Dirabbanan. If it's Halacha L'mashim Sin, it says Safek should be L'chumra. So Gemara says that doesn't prove anything. Kach Nemar Halacha, Vado Asa Sveika Mutter. So Gemara said the Feirish, that Safek Arla B'chutzlos is Mutter, even if it's Halacha L'mashim Sin, it's still Mutter. Kach Nemar Halacha. So why does Rashi say that Safek Arla B'chutzlos, Kalamek Albarz, Halacha Gemasa B'chutzlos, is only because you hold that Arla B'chutzlos the Rabbanan? No, but the Gemara said in Kedushin, even if you hold that it's Halacha L'mashim Sin, it still says Sveika L'kula. So the Mishkan is Yankev has in a Sefer on Brachas on that Rashi. He says, no, Rashi goes with this Tosis. Rashi holds that it's not Mistaba. How can you have a Pasuk telling you how to Paskin when you have a Sveika Adina? Don't have any Sveika Adina. You can have, the Torah has to tell you how to Paskin when you have a Safek and Metzias. Baba Kama tells you all the Dinim. Then Baba Metzias tells you how to Paskin if you don't know the fact. Shnayim Mochs and Metalis, each one says it's his. Shnayim Mochs and Mishtar, the Malvin, the Levi, each one says it's his. You don't know, the Bezin doesn't know what the facts are. Ela Metzias, you don't know who's the real owner. So the Mishnais, you have a lot of Mishnais above Metzias where the Halacha tells you how to Paskin when you don't know the facts of the case. How can you have Halacha, how to Paskin when you don't know what the Din is? Break your head and figure out the din. So that's what Rashi says. If the Gemara says Safek Arla B'chutzlos even applies, because Sveik Adina Kalamek Albarz Halacha Gemasa B'chutzlos, that Gemara in Brachas Lamed Vav must be going with the Shita that Arla B'chutzlos is only the Rabbanan, because if it's Halacha L'mashim Sinai, that's not Mistaber like the Tosfos says here on Kuf Lamed Vav in base. Very not Mistaber that you're going to have Halacha L'mashim Sinai. How to pass when you have a Sveik Adina? Don't have a Sveik Adina. Break your head and figure out what the din is. No, Halacha Moshim Sina says that Arla B'chutzlos is Aser, and Safek Arla B'chutzlos is Mutter. So that goes Safek and Metzias, because we're only human beings. So the Rabbanu Shalom gave us the Halacha Moshim Sina. How to Paskin when you're not sure what the facts are?
But what are you gonna? If the original thing is Halacha Moshim Sina, what are you gonna? What are the Chachamim gonna be metabol about? What can they? What information
there's,
is there to be?
There's Sveikas in Hilcha. There's a Safek and Metzias. Which tree is the Arla tree? And the whole big patch, which tree? When did I plant it? Before Tu B'Av or after Tu B'Av?
Those things.
Yeah.
But halachically.
So that's a Safek and Metzias.
That's fine.
So you can have Halacha L'mashim Sina, Arla B'chutzlaritz is Aser, and Kach Nemar Halacha, that Safek Arla is Mutter. Safek Arla, Safek and Metzias. But you're not going to have, that's what he says, Pshat and Rashi, you're not going to have Halacha L'mashim Sinai, that Safek Arla B'chutz Laris is Mutter when it's a Sveik Adina. You're not supposed to have any Sveik Adina. Break your head and figure out what the din is.
Even on Halacha L'mashim Sinai, how are you going to break your head?
There is Halacha L'mashim Sinai.
What rules are you going to use? What?
How do you work out any Halacha? We have Midah Shatern, the Dreshes.
Similar things like this.
Dam and Milsa, the Milsa. Okay, we have a Dam and Milsa, the Milsa. We should figure out what the din is. So if you're going to have a machlekes, so what are you going to say? The Halacha L'mashim Sinai says you go l'kula when you have a Sveik Adina. When you have a machlekes, don't have a machlekes. Let everybody gather together and there won't be any machlekes. Figure out what they did.
How's
that? Safek Chodesh, you don't know what the facts are. Okay.
So that's
Safek and Metzias. Yeah, Safek and Metzias, yeah. But here,
by Safek Arla,
the Gemara has both. You say Safek Arla b'chutzlos muta both Sveik Adina and a Safek and Metzias. So that's why it was bothering Rashi. How can the Gemara say by Sveik Adina, Safek Arla b'chutzlos mutar? There's Halacha L'mashim Sinai. How to pass when you have a Sveik Adina? Just like Tosfos says on Kuf Lamed Vav and Beis. It doesn't make sense to have Halacha L'mashim Sinai. Doesn't make sense to have Xeris HaKosov. How to pass when you have a Sveik Adina? Figure out what the din is. So how can you have Halacha L'mashim Sinai and a Sveik Adina? So that's what Rashi was machriach, that Gemara Brachas that says, Safek Arla B'chutzlos Mutter, even a Sveik Adina, that goes with the Mat Amar, that Arla B'chutzlos is only the Rabbanon, even a Sveik Adina is also going to be L'Hakel.
Safek Arla B'chutzlos, if it's a Sveik Metzias, then it's,
Safek Chadosh, even if you're the Chadosh B'chutz Laretz is the Rabbanon, Machlegs, but the Reis of the Rabbanon. Even if you're Chadosh B'chutz Laretz is the Rabbanon, you can't say Sveika Lekula because it's a Dovash Yesh Lamatirin. Chadosh, just put it away and wait till after Chalamoid Pesach. It'll be Ois Chadosh. If you have a Safek, it was Chadosh. Wait a half a year, it'll be Mutta. So that shouldn't be, where the Chadosh is the Reis of the Rabbanon, that should not be an Afkamina. You should say that Safek Chadosh is Lechumre. Even if it's only the Rabbanon, yeah. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara explains, that the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yudah and Kuflam the Dalet on the base. The Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yudah Mata be Androgynous, the Bris Milav and Androgynous, the Echad Shabbos. So the Gemara explains on the next daf on Kuflam the Vav and base. Loila Kolam Rabbi Yudah. Not that he's saying in Kol HaTarkula Androgynous is Avada Izocha. No, in Kol HaTarkula he's masking with the Rabbanon that it's a Sofik Zocha, Sofik Nekeva. But by Bris Milah, there's a riboy from a pasuk. Imalachem kol zocher, kol dehu. That's on the top of Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, right before the Mishnah, on the fifth line from the top, right before the Mishnah. Gemara says, Imalachem kol zocher, kol dehu. As long as there's any zachrus, so it's a vadai Bris Milah, and the mele it's Deches Shabbos. Yeah. So then the Gemara. So what is considered? So what is an example of a sofek Milah bizmana that is not Deches Shabbos? So the Gemara gives an example. The baby was born Bein HaShemashes, so you don't know when the Yom HaShemini is. That's really the example given by the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah later on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. There are three Mishnahs on the Mishnah. So the middle Mishnah, the second Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph says, Katan is Nimo L'Shmoinu L'Tisha L'Asar L'Acharos L'Yud Beis. Normally a baby has, the baby's born on a Monday, today's Monday, the baby's born on Monday, so the bris is going to take place on the Yom HaShemini next Monday. What if the baby was born Bein HaShemashes, the baby's born a minute before Shkia on Monday evening, a minute before the Shkia, okay? So you don't need Me'es Le'es, Monday counts as the first day, and next Monday the bris is going to take place. What if the baby is born after Shkia, Bein HaShemashes time? So the Bein HaShemashes is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. So it's a Safek whether we consider it as if the baby had been born on Monday or Tuesday. So you can't do the bris next Monday. So it's Nimo Letisha. You have to postpone the bris till next week, till Tuesday. You don't do the bris on Monday. And what happens, let's say, if the baby was born Bein HaShemashes of Friday evening going into Shabbos? So you can't do the bris on next Friday, maybe it's Shmoneh. You can't do the bris next Shabbos, maybe Bein HaShemashes is really Friday, and the bris should have taken place on Friday, not on Shabbos. So then you perform the bris on Sunday. What if Sunday is Yontif? So Milush Lebizmana is not Dechei Yontif, so you have to postpone the bris till Monday. What if Monday, the Mishnah is written in Eretz Yisrael? So the Mishnah says, what if you have 2 days Yontif? How do you have 2 days Yontif in Eretz Yisrael? So the Mishnah, the only example you have is Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah says, Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, Sunday and Monday. Sunday and Monday, do we ever have Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday? Lo Yadu Rosh. By us, we never have Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday. But the Mishnah was before, that's after they set the calendar, the way we have it all set up.
It can be on Thursday.
Can't be on?
It can be on Thursday.
Ah, okay, so then you have 3 days in a row. The Mishnah gives an example of when you have 3 days in a row. You have 2 days Yontif and you have Shabbos. So the Mishnah says if you have Sunday and Monday, are the two, the example the Mishnah gives, 2 days Rosh Hashanah are going to be on Sunday and Monday. Who are the Nami if 2 days Rosh Hashanah will be on Thursday and Friday? So if you have 3 days in a row, when you're only allowed to perform the Bris Milah, if it's a Milah Bizmano, and it's a suffix because baby was born Bein HaShemashes, so then you have to postpone the bris till another day. And that's as far as you postpone. That's the Mishnah. So that's an example. Such a bris is not Deches Shabbos, not Deches Yontif because of the suffix. It's a suffix if it's the Shemini. So that's what the Mishnah says. Whenever there's a suffix if it's the Shemini, then it's not Deches Shabbos. Yeah. What is there another example of a suffix? So the Gemara has another example of a Sofik on the top of Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, 4 lines from the top. Sofik ben Zayin, Sofik ben Ches. In the days of the Tanaim, they understood that there are two types of pregnancies. There's a 7-month pregnancy and a 9-month pregnancy. The Ritva and the Shulchan Aruch say, we don't understand what that means. We never heard of two kinds of pregnancies. Everything is a 9-month pregnancy. And then the Gemara has a. The Gemara talks about kol alechadosha as opposed to lo kol alechadosha. Was it a full-term pregnancy? Was it not a full-term pregnancy? So usually you don't know. How do you know if it's a full-term pregnancy? Who knows when the woman became pregnant to know whether it's kol alechadosha or not? It's rare. With the husband and the wife, they only hitashmish one day. And that's all. So they're going to know exactly whether it's kol alechadosha, it's full-term pregnancy. It's going to be rare. So usually you don't know whether it's kol alechadosha. Sometimes you know that the baby is clearly post-mature. It was a 10-month pregnancy. You know for sure that it's more than nine full months. So that's a discussion in the Tanoim over here. If you don't know whether the baby was a full-term, what's the definition of a full-term pregnancy? Full-term pregnancy means 9 months each, not 9 months. On the Jewish calendar, that every other month is 29 days and every other month is 30 days, not 9 full months on the Goyish calendar, that every other month is 30 days, every other month is 31 days. The Gemara says, Beferish and Nida, it's 9 times 30. 9 times 30 is called a full-term pregnancy. So then the Gemara has a machlekes amaroi, in portion of machlekes the medicine. Yoledes letisha, if it's a 9-month pregnancy, is it normal that it's yoledes limikutoin into the beginning of the 9th month? Maspik, that's called kolalo chadosho, that's considered a full-term pregnancy. Odisa yoledes letisha, ene yoledes limikutoin. No, you have to have 9 times 30. To be called a full-term pregnancy, you have to have the full 9 months. If it's yoledes l'shiva, that we don't understand what in the world that's all about. We don't know that there is such a thing. So the Gemara in Nida says, yoledes l'shiva, if it's a 7-month pregnancy, everybody would agree, all the Tanaim would agree to the medical fact that yoledes l'mikotoin. If it's only a 7-month pregnancy, it's much shorter, so then you can even make it shorter. You can make it shorter. So that's normal. Once she enters into the 7th month, that's normal to give birth to the baby. That would be considered kolal chadoshav. But if it's a 9-month pregnancy, that's what we're talking about, 9-month pregnancy, so then it's a machlekes in the Gemara, whether you should say a Gemara Nida, whether you should assume, is it considered kol chadoshav or not, when she entered into the beginning of the 9 month. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara, and that's a machlekes in the Rishonim, how to assume, whether your letters letisha, your letters limukutoin, if it's the beginning of the 9th month, maspik, that's called kol chadoshav or no. You have to have dafka full 9 months, 9 times 30 days. That's called kolal chadoshav. Yeah, yeah. So it's in Shulchan Aruch it's a machlokes. And then the Ramah writes in the end of Eben Ezer that halacha lemaisa, whatever it was in the days of the Gemara, the Ramah quotes Rashbeitz, Chuvas Rashbeitz, whatever it was in the days of the Tanaim is irrelevant. You have to determine what is it bizman hazeh. So the Rishonim say that bizman hazeh for sure it's normal. That when the woman enters into the beginning of the 9th month, if she has the baby, that's considered normal. That's considered kolal chadosh. My nafkamina. So the Ramah quotes it in the end of Eben Ezer. This is the top line of Kuflam and Vovam and Beis, but the Gemara talks about this issue. The Ramah talks about the following case. A woman is married, and the husband died, and never had any children. And they have one child. They have one child who was just born. Either is born before the father died or after the father died. It doesn't make a difference. There's a Rashi here who says that the child was born after the father died, so the Bach changes it. It's irrelevant whether the child was born before the father died or after the father died. The question is, how long did the child survive? So if the child dies within 30 days, so then Rav Shimon ben Gamliel makes the statement that's 5 lines from the bottom of Kuflam and Heim and Beis Tanya. So Tosefta, Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Kol Shisho Shloshim Yom Ba'odam Eina Nefel, Shinem Avduim Ve'chodesh Tifte. The Torah says you make Pidyon Aden after 30 days, on the Yom Lamed Aleph. Machlekes HaTanaim in the Mishnah in Pchoris, when do you do Pidyon Aben? Yom Lamed or Yom Lamed Aleph? We pass when you do Pidyon Aben on the Yom Lamed Aleph. So it's assumed that the reason why Pidyon Aben is scheduled for Yom Lamed Aleph, because if you don't know whether the baby was a full-term pregnancy or not, you don't know whether it's going to be a Nefel or a Bar Kayoma, so if the baby already survived a month, so then it's Biyadua, that's Mevarer, that it's a healthy baby, and it makes sense to make Pidyon Aben. What if the baby was post-mature, the woman was pregnant for 10.5 months, and the baby comes out full of hair and full of fingernails, everything is clear that it's a post-mature baby. So no, that's a Gzeiras HaKosov, that you have to wait till Yom Lamed Aleph to do Pidyon Aben. You can't do Pidyon Aben in the middle of the Yom Lamed Aleph, in the middle of the 31 days. But the Reb Shimon Gamliel is assuming that the reason why the Torah established Binyan HaBen on the Yom Lamed Aleph, because usually, if you wait to Yom Lamed Aleph, you know that the Vlad is a Bar Kayam. Then he said the same thing. Torah says you shouldn't be makar of any karbonos of Behema. Why does the Torah say you have to wait till the eighth day to be makar of a carbon? So the Xeris of course you have to wait till the eighth day applies, even if you know, let's say the animal doctor knows that this behema was a post mature pregnancy. She's more than 9 months, or more than the 5 months. By behema doc, it's a 5 month pregnancy. By behema gasa, it's a 9 month pregnancy. So let's say you know for sure that it was more than 5 months. You know for sure that it's more than 9 months. It's vade kala chadoshim. So still it's a gzeres hakasva. You can't bring it as a korban until a yom hashmini. That's a gzeres hakasva. Rav Shimon Gamliel is assuming that the reason why the Torah established that halacha that you shouldn't bring a korban until the animal is 8 days old is then if you don't know if kala chadoshim or not, so then if you wait 8 days, then it'll be biyodua vada shekala chadoshim. So he says la halacha, let's say you have a vlad, a behema is born, not a carbon, we're not talking about a macro of his carbon, behema is born, and they went and they shechted it within the first 8 days. They didn't wait till the eighth day. So the Gemara tells a story. Here the Gemara tells a story, 15 lines from the bottom of Kuflam and Vavam and Aleph. A papa, Ravuna Beidu Reb Shua, visited someone, and he shechted an animal on the seventh day. And he invited them, please eat the flesh, it's very healthy. This is an igla tilto. What's an igla tilto? So there's different versions, but it's the third vlad that this cow gave birth to, whatever. Somehow they assumed that it's a very healthy animal. So they told him, if you would have waited till tonight, if we had shechted it at night on the eighth day, then we would eat it, because you have to wait. That's Reb Shimon Gamliel's din. Kol shalosh shmona yamin bebehema, it's a suffik nefil. It's a suffik nefil, yeah. So there, that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, whether that's a din derais, a din derabbanan. This whole din that you shouldn't shecht an animal for chulin, not for kochim. You shouldn't shecht an animal if it's any yodua, if it's yodua shekolach hadoshev, then you can shecht it the same day that it was born. But if it's any yodua shekolach hadoshev, you don't know. So if you wait 8 days and the animal is still alive and healthy, then we assume that's a hoichacha, that it was kolach hadoshev and it's a healthy animal. And it's a chai. Let's say if the animal dies a natural death, so it's an avela. So if you're going to take a knife, you're going to shecht it after it's dead, doesn't help. So even if it's if it was loikol al chadasha, even if it's walking around and you shecht it, the shechita is not going to help. We consider it as if it's an eifel and you're shechting a dead animal. And if it's any adua in kol al chadasha, you don't know one way or the other, so you have to wait till the eighth day. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, whether that's the Reis or the Rabban. Shulchan Aruch, many assume that it's only the Rabban. This dinner of Shimon Gamliel, you have to wait till the eighth day, you assume it's only the Rabbanon. You look in the Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, you look in the Rambam, you get the impression from the Rambam that it's a din deraisa. Because the Rambam says if you shecht the animal within the first 8 days, you didn't wait, you shouldn't shecht it. If you shecht it, you're not allowed to eat it. But if you ate it, you don't get malchus because it's a suffix. If the whole din is only with the Rabbanon, so about it, you don't get malchus. So from the Rambam is mashman, the simple reading of the Rambam, that it's a real suffik deraisa, minatari, not allowed to eat it, suffik deraisa luchomer, or suffik deraisa luchomer, you don't get malchus, me suffik. The Rambam sounds like this din of kol shloshos shmona yamim, the behema is a suffik nefil, that's a din deraisa. So what about the din of kol shloshos shloshim yom ba'odom is a nefil? What about that din? Is that deraisa? Is that derabbanan? So what's the significance of that din? So that's relevant, but it's negiah to a lot of things. Let's say a baby is born and the baby dies within 30 days. So do the relatives have to observe avelus or not? So if a baby was never alive, you only observe avelus if the person was alive and then he died. If there was a miscarriage, so one doesn't observe avelus. So the question is, the baby died within 30 days. So is that considered the person was alive and he died? So then the relatives, the parents and the siblings have to observe avelus. Or do you say, no, that it was never alive? So if you know, if it was a full-term pregnancy, and then the baby was shot, there was a terrorist attack, the baby was shot within 30 days, or the baby was killed in an accident or something, it was Yadush Kol HaChadoshim, so then it's considered a Chai. But if it's any Yadush Kol HaChadoshim, so then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that you have to wait 30 days, and if the baby dies within 30 days, then you don't observe Avela. So let's say, HaHorgo Ena Neragolov. If he kills someone, you kill a Yisrael, you chay misa. So what if you kill a person who's an Eifel? The baby was premature. The baby is premature, the baby is born in the fifth month, in the sixth month. And then someone goes and he kills the baby. So the baby is considered an Eifel. He was never alive. Let's say the woman has a miscarriage. So the baby comes out dead. So he's never chay. So even if the baby comes out, it's a little bit alive, but it was premature, then it's going to die soon after. So that's not that's considered an Eifel. It's considered as if he was never alive. So if the baby, you don't know whether a baby was born, you don't know whether it's a full-term pregnancy or not. So then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Hargain and Eragolov." Unless the baby survives 30 days, then that's a birur that he was a chai, that he wasn't an Eifel. And it's also an Egeya to this din about the woman. That's what I said. The top line here, the last line of Kuf Lamed Vav and Aleph, going over to Amid Beis. So that's the case. The woman was married and the husband died and he never had any other children. And then there's one child. Either the child was born while the father was alive, doesn't matter. The child was born during, while the father was alive, after the father died, that's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. Here's the Rashi. Kuf Lamed Vav and Aleph, the second line from the bottom in the Rashi. V'noilad la'acha misa soviv. What does Rashi say? Noilad la'acha misa soviv. It's irrelevant. So they correct it. It doesn't have to be Nola Lachamisa Saviv. The Ikavart is V'chai Lachamisa Saviv. The baby survives. The baby lived on after the father died, and then the baby died afterwards. So if the baby died within 3 days, what's the din? They consider it as if the baby was alive after the husband died. So at the time of death, when the husband died, there was a baby. So you can't say Ubein ain lo. Yesh lo bein. He had a son. Even though the baby dies a minute after the father died. So the woman is p'tura min ha-chalitza min ha-yim. She doesn't need any chalitza yim. But the question is, what if the baby, so if the baby was biyodur shekol alo chadoshim, you know for sure that it was a full-term pregnancy, then you don't have to wait 30 days to be mevara that it wasn't an eifel. Kol alo chadoshim, afartik. If it's any Yodum, Kol HaChadosh, you don't know whether it's a full-term pregnancy or not. So then Reb Shimon Gamliel's din applies. The Gemara says, Halach, Reb Shimon Gamliel, the din applies, and you have to wait 30 days. So if the baby dies within 30 days, so then we are misupik. Maybe the baby was really an Eifel, and Bein Ein Lo. So even the baby was alive for 2 weeks, that doesn't count. It's considered an Eifel. And the woman is going to need Chalitza. So the question is, what's considered a full-term pregnancy? So we said, if it's into the ninth month, if it's by us, we have 9 month pregnancy. So if it's into the ninth month, so that's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether yoledes letisha, Gemara nida, yoledes letisha, yoledes lemekutoin. Is that normal, natural, that she should have the baby in the beginning of the ninth month? What do you say, yoledes letisha, ain't yoledes lemekutoin? You have to have full-term pregnancy, means full 9 months, 9 times 30 days. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes in the Rishonim. So the Ramon, the end of Ebenezer, wakes up in Yeridaya when it says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Avelos, the end of Chilek Gimel Yeridaya, it says in Hilchas Avelos, if a baby dies, if it was Kol Alo Chadoshav, it was a full-term pregnancy, 9 times 30 days, full 9 months, and then the baby is born, that's Kol Alo Chadoshav, then you don't have to wait 30 days. And even if the baby dies within the 30 days, there will be Avelos. But if the baby was born in the middle of the ninth month, by us it's always born in the middle of the ninth month, it's not born 9 times 30 days, very normal. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, mi sofik, that there's no avelus, because in avelus, whenever there's any sofik, so you go lekula. So there's a machlekes and rishanim, whether you're lettuce, machlekes and the Gemara, machlekes and rishanim, whether you're lettuce letisha, you're lettuce lemikutoin or not. So since it's a sofik, so we go lekula, we say there's no avelus. So there, in the end of Ebenezer, the Ramah has a psak on this case. The husband died, and he survived with a little baby, and we don't know whether the baby was a full-term, and the baby was born in the middle of the ninth month. So is that called, and then the baby dies within 30 days. So if the baby is born in the middle of the ninth month, is that called Kol Alo Chadoshav? So you don't have to have the 30 days to be mevarav. Is that called lekol hadoshev? Because any other eres lemekodim. So that was a machlekes harishayim, machlekes a gemara, machlekes a rishayim. So the Rama says whatever was in the gemara is irrelevant. Bizman hazeh, the doctors say that it's normal. The yoledes letisha is yoledes lemekodim. That's the Rama's psak. So he's mekol. He says if the baby dies within 30 days, the woman is still pturim and a chalitzim and a yibam. Because it's considered kolal chadashav, because bizman is that we assume that it's natural, it's normal. Yaledes letishi is yaledes lemekodim. So that's why it's a pella. Why didn't the Ramah masig in the end of Yeredeya, when it says in Shulchan Aruch Yeredeya that if a baby was born into the ninth month, so then and then the baby dies within 30 days, so it's a suffek whether yaledes letishi yaledes lemekodim or not. So therefore, misafik, you only have to observe Abelis if the baby survives a full 30 days afterwards. Doesn't survive, you don't have to. The Ramah should have said that was manazeh. It's perfectly normal that a baby is born into the ninth month. Yoledes letisha is yoledes lemekatan. He's mater the woman. He says the woman does need chalitza v'yibum. He's mater and isa deraisa because we assume lahalacha. That was manazeh, that's called kol chadoshim. Into the ninth month is normal. So he should have said that there should be avelus over there. So that's a pella. So some achareinim say, anachanami, the Rama assumes that you're reading everything that he wrote. And once you get to the end of Ebenezer, to see what he wrote there, he quoted the Tshuvas HaRash Beitz, that Bizmanazeh is normal, that a woman has a baby into the middle of the ninth month. So that's called kolo chadoshes, so you don't have to wait 30 days. And Avnei Nezer has a whole pilpul, has a whole charifus. He says that not everybody agrees with the Tash Beitz. He says some disagree with this Tashbait. So it's in Hilchas Avelus, it's still halachic divan makeabov. Since there are those who disagree, so you still go the kula b'Avelus. Pashta says, not like the Avnei Nezer. Pashta says, we said over many times when the Mishkan and Yankiv has in his Sefer and Brochus, Kvelos Yankiv, he says that the reason why kalamekeabovel, halachic divan makeabovel, why is it that we always go the kula in Avelus? Because the klal is that any safek abelis you go lekula, and when you have a machlekes, even though let's say yochid verabim halacha kirabim, but the sheet of the yochid, we don't assume that he made a mistake. We assume elu v'elu develikim chaim. There is validity to the sheet of the yochid, except that we don't pass like that. So since elu v'elu develikim chaim, so then we assume that that's a safek kaldehu. And if you have a suffix called the, that's enough to say that there's no din of Avelus. Even if you hold Avelus, Yamshan is deraisa, still a din. That suffix Avelus is still a kulam. Suffix Avelus is still a kulam. So the pashtus is that you cannot, only time you say, Elo v'yele divile kim chaim is when there's a machlekes in halacha. But if you have a machlekes in metzias, either the fact is like this or the fact is like this. You can't say Elo v'yele if you have a machlekes in metzias. So here, alpi pashtus, it's a machlekes in medicine. Bismanazah, is it normal that a woman should give birth in the middle of the ninth month, or is it still considered abnormal? So if you have a machlekes in metzias, you can't say elu v'elu. So if we have adopted the position of the Rash Beitz, the Tshuvas HaTash Beitz, not the Rishon, the Achron, who lived in Algeria. There's a Tash Beitz, a Talmud of the Maharam Rittenberg, who writes all the Minhogim, all the Piyutim and the Slichas, like the Maril. So that's the old Tash Beitz Kotten, that's called the Tash Beitz Kotten, a little safer Tash Beitz. This is the Duchuvus of the Tashbait, so who lived in Algeria, the early, from the Talmidim of the Iran. So once the Rama assumes, like the Tashbaits, that it's normal for a woman to give birth in the middle of the ninth month, that's a question of Metzias. So what shach to say, Allah k'teva mekel bovel, what do you mean? It's a shah l'metzias. And Metzias, you don't say, elevei eladiv elekim chayim. So whoever is wrong is dead wrong, not accepted, dead wrong. So how can the Avnei Nezer say that you go l'kula in Hilchas Avelus? Pashtus is like the other Achrayim who said that once you get to the Ramah in the end of Ebenezer that he paskins that Bizmanazet, we assume that it's normal. Yoledes letishi, yoledes lemekotayin, it's normal to give birth in the middle of the ninth month. So that's called kolol chadoshev. So then you don't have to wait 30 days. If the baby died within the 30 days, it would be avelus, yeah. Sometimes you have, let's say, it was a full-term pregnancy, full 9 month pregnancy, post mature, 10 month pregnancy, but when the baby is born, so the doctors say the Ivorim are missing. They're missing things. So then, even though it's 10 months, that's called Lakol Chadoshim. Kol Chadoshim means the baby was normal, baby, everything was formed that was supposed to be formed. But if the doctors tell you that it's missing organs, and that's why it's going to die young, then that's like lekol alachadoshev. That's lekol alachadoshev.
Even if it goes past the 30 days.
Even if it goes after the 30 days, 30 days only helps if it's ena yodua. You don't know whether it's kol alachadoshev or not. So if the baby survives 30 days, we assume that it was kol alachadoshev. Let's say you have a person who was vaday born prematurely. A baby was born vaday prematurely. So then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's din is not going to help. The Gemara, that's a Gemara in Yevamos. Then the person is considered a Sofik Nefil until he reaches the 20th birthday, until he's 20 years old. So the Chazanish says that Bizman Hazeh, that din doesn't apply if the doctors put the baby in an incubator. That's like putting the baby inside the mother's body, and the conditions imitate those of the mother's body. And then the doctors released the baby and they told the parents, you can take your baby home, it's healthy like any other baby. So the Chazanish says, so that's called Lakol HaLachadosh, the farting. So the Chazanish says that Bizman Hazeh, that whole Gemara doesn't apply, that you have to wait till 20. The first 20 years of his life, the guy's considered a suffering natal, doesn't apply. So there was a Rav in the Eira Haredes, the Minchas Yitzchok, dying wise from the Eira Haredes. So he quotes the Chazanish and he disagrees. So who gave the Chazanish the right to Chaylik on the Gemara? It's not Chaylik on the Gemara. He says the whole thing in the Gemara. It's a medical issue. So if the doctors today say you have an incubator and that puts the baby in the matzav, like it's called a Chadasha, so Shayna is good. So he disagrees with the Chazanish. He says that the baby is considered a Sofik Nefel until he reaches the age of 20. I remember many years ago I said this in Shia. We were talking about this. So there was one of the students in the class was born prematurely, and he was in an incubator for a couple of weeks, and then he was normal. And he started to perspire when I started. He got so scared. He was only 18, something like 17 and a half. So a couple of years later, on his birthday, he comes over to me. He says, to come to my mazel tov, he's alive. So I said, what are you talking about? Of course you're alive. He's in my shiur a couple of years. He says, because 3 years ago I said that Menchas Chitzchok disagrees. And when I said the Menchas Chitzchok, I was joking. I was making fun of it. I said, of course the Chazanish is right. So I said the Menchas Chitzchok said that he's a Sofik Neif until he reaches the age of 20. So he got so scared. Now he knows. Now he's 20 years old. He knows that he's not a Neif. So I said, but I said it, I was making fun of the Menchas Chitzchok. So he said he didn't take it as a joke. He took it seriously. He got scared. Anyway, he's married. He has children. He's doing very well, parnasa-wise. He gives a lot of tzedakah. Yeah. Anyway, so that's this gemara. That's the relevance of this dinam of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the one din of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the both dinam are based on psukim chumish teregzeres hakasav. The 8 days by the korbanos, even if it's vaday kol lechadoshev, and the pinyan aben on yom lamed aleph is even if it's vaday kol lechadoshev. That's a pasuk. But he understands, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel understands from the Pesukim that the reason why the Torah gave a din of 8 days is because if you have a behemoth that's a suffix, whether it was called a chadoshev, if you wait 8 days and it survives, that'll be a hoichoche that it was called a chadoshev. And the reason why the Torah said, Pidyon HaBen al Yom Laman Aleph, because if you have a person who was born, it's a suffix of called a chadoshev anad, so if you wait 30 days, that'll be the birah, that'll be called a chadoshev. So by the 8 days, waiting till the eighth day, he said, Rav Soloveitchik had a diuk in the Rama. Rama says, if you shecht it within the 8 days, you're not allowed to eat it. That's what the Gemara says. If you would have waited till tonight, he shechted it on the 7th day. So that's what they said to him, about 10 lines from the bottom of Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, by the tiny letter Yud of the Ayin Mishpat. So the Gemara has the lashon Is Rechisu Le'ad Li'urto. If you would have waited till tonight, Havi Achlinim, and I would have eaten. Rashi says on that Gemara, why is it good if you wait till the night? So he says, because mixes hayom kekula. Because mixes hayom kekula.
The next day starts at the night.
Yeah. So let's say the behemoth was born a minute before the shkia, and I'm going to wait till that counts as 1 day. Then I have another 6 days. What do you have to have? Another 6 days. And then I wait till a minute after Tzei Sakuchah and Ashechte. You don't have 24 hours times 7. You didn't wait till the 8th day after 7 Meisleis. So Rashi is befesh. You don't have to. It doesn't depend on Meisleis. He said, Mikzus Hayom Kekula. That's the Gemara. Gemara says, Iyas Rechisa, if you would have waited till tonight, I would have eaten it. So Rashi says, because Mikzus Hayom Kekula. Rashi Dima Masa, Ahava Yachlina Mina. There's a difficult Prima Godim in Yeridea. Prima Godim in Yeridea writes that since it's an issue of a medical issue, as far as noita that you have to wait till 7 full days, 7 meislays. So Rebbe Kiveger has Ha'oris on the bottom of the page in Yeridea, Ha'oris on the bottom of the page of the Prima Godim. He says the Prima Godim is against this Gemara. Gemara befares, you know, 7 full meislays. There's no such din. So that's the Shaila. That the Rambam sounds like he holds that this din of waiting 8 days is only midirabbanan. The Rambam is mashma that is the rice, because if you ate it, you ain't a loike. Sounds like it's a real sveka, the rice. But in Shulchan Aruch, they never mind that it's only midirabbanan. Waiting the. So maybe that's the Shaila. Maybe the 30 days. Maybe the waiting the 30 days is also only midirabbanan. So that is a long Bangi Mishnah. And the first page in Hilchos Yibam Lachalitza. So there's a very long Magen Mishnah where he says that the whole din of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel waiting 30 days is only midirabbanan. In our Torah, we say roiv vlodus of vlad ma'alya. We assume a baby is born. You assume it's the odds are, the likelihood is that it's not an eifel. Roiv vlodus of b'nei kayyama. The whole requirement to wait 30 days, if any yodush, kol hadash, the whole thing is only a chumah midirabbanan to begin with. And it's a machlekes Reb Shimon Gamliel and a Chacham. It's a true we pass like Reb Shimon Gamliel, but it's only midirabbanan. So the whole din harga ein an erigol. If someone kills a baby who was just born, the Mishnah says in Maseches Nida, tinik ben yomecho, tinik ben yomo. Baby was born. It's 1 day old. It was 1 today. Tinik ben yomo. So ha harga an erigol. If you kill a baby, you chay misa. So when is that? So Reb Shimon Gamliel will say that's only if you do a shikol lechadoshev. If it's any yodush shikol lechadoshev, and a hargo ain't an eragolov. So the Magen Mishnah claims that this is only midirabbanan. In our Torah, even Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree that a hargo is an eragolov, even though it's not yodush shikol lechadoshev. So why did they make a kula? Why do they want to let the murderer get off the hook? Why did they make this kula? So the Magen Mishnah says they really wanted to, and then they made a kula that you don't observe avelus. A baby is born, so roiv lodus avlad ma'alya. Baby is a normal baby, and then it dies 2 weeks later. So why they make a din that you don't observe avelos? Why would they make an avelos? Why would they make all that the murderer is off the hook? He's not chaymis, and why would they make you shouldn't observe avelos? So he says because they really want it to be machmir. They want it to be with the rabbanon. It says shmarta mes mishmarti aso mishmaris l'mishmarti. The Torah authorizes the chacham das digman yivamis and af chafalav. The Gemara quotes that pasuk: "Shmartemes mishmartil wilti asos bichokos atoyvos shenasa lefnechem." The concluding pasuk, I think, in Achrei Mois. I think it's the last pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mois. So the pasuk shot in the pasuk is you should observe the laws of Gilei Arayis and so on, because the of the Avodah Zarah who lived in Eretz Yisrael before Yeshua ben Nun conquered the land violated all these dinim, and they were in the land vomited them out. Lo soki haretz eschem etamachem oisa. That's the Poshim Shav. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, which Shmartem is Mishmarti, Asum Mishmeris Mishmarti. The Torah is authorizing the Bezdin, the Rabbanim, to make Gzeres the Rabbanim. That's the Pasuk is the basis of the Mishnah. First Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Heimar Mishlosh Dvarim. Asay Siyog LaTorah. You have to introduce Harchokes and Siyogim and the Rabbanim. So the Magi Mishnah, that first long Magi Mishnah, on the first page in Hilchos Yibam V'Chalitza, says, they really wanted to introduce a chumrah by chalitza, that if the husband died and he has no other children, the only child he has is this child, and this child, we're not sure whether it was called a chadosh or not. So in Torah, you assume that roiv lodus are b'nei kayyama. You assume that it was called a chadosh. So even if the child will die within 30 days, the woman should really be pturim min chalitza min ayibum, because when the husband died, there was a child, it's ben yeshlo. So Reb Shimon Gamliel introduced a chumer midirabbanan that she shouldn't be able to have, she shouldn't be muteris lihinasi lashuk. He should still require chalitza because maybe the vlad was an eifel, maybe he was never alive in the first place. So because they wanted to introduce a chumer in Hilchas chalitza that the woman should require chalitza, so that chumer is not going to fly unless you introduce kulas also. That a hargo and an eragolov, and you don't observe avelus. So he says, okay, so they patted the guy from the death penalty, and they said, so you don't observe avelus. Okay, this they had to throw in the two kulas in order to be mechazik duchumer. But really, the whole din of Reb Shimon Gamliel is only mid the rabbanon. Only mid the rabbanon. Yeah, the Gemara says, we paskan like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, But the Gemara says not 100%. Sometimes you don't pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's the last line on Kuf Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, Neis b'toch shloshim, a man was married and he died, and he has no other children, not from a previous marriage, not from his girlfriends. He has no other children. The only child he has is this child, either born while the father was alive, after the father died. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. What is relevant is the following. This is a tshuva the Navi Yehuda. Let's say they're saving his sperm in a freezer somewhere, and after he dies, leaving no children, so the woman needs chalitza from the brother. So then they impregnate her. Then they take the sperm that was put away in the freezer 3 years ago, and then they'll make her pregnant. So is that called Ben Yeshlo? At the time that he died, she wasn't pregnant at all. She became pregnant later. In the days of the Gemara, this was impossible. They couldn't freeze the sperm. They didn't have such a thing. But it was, the Nadi Beauty says it was possible. The Gemara says it's possible that the woman will not become pregnant till a day or two after they had the Tashmish. So that's the Nadi Beauty talks about that. That was possible in the days of the Gemara. It's possible during the lifetime of the Nadi Beauty. He had Tashmish with his wife, and then he dies. And then she becomes pregnant afterwards. It took a day or two till she became pregnant. So that's a deal in the Nadi Behuda. It says a bein ain lohi. The bein is a misyaches to the husband, even if she became pregnant later. And in Tim Siloima that yes, and maybe that's only because she became pregnant kederach kol haaretz. They had tashmish while he was still alive. And then she didn't. It wasn't koilet the zera. Until after he died. What if you put it in the freezer and then you have artificial insemination? But Nezer HaBal, is that also called Bein Yeshlo? Is it Bein Misyach is after the father? So that's the big Shailah B'Zman HaZeh. Let's say a couple is married and they can't have children without assistance of a doctor. The doctor has to take the Zer HaBal, not talking Zer from someone else, the doctor takes Zer HaBal and he artificially inseminates the wife. So the children, let's say the husband was a kohen, and these are biologically, genetically, these are his children. But are they considered kohanim? Is the bein misyachas after the father because genetically he's the father? But you say, no, it's only misyachas after the father if they had kederach kol haaretz. That was a big machlekas in recent generations. In the last generation, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach told people, your children can duchen. And many other Gedolim were not so convinced. They thought artificial insemination is not kederach kol haaretz. So the vlad is not misyachas after the father. And the Yehuda Shaila is when she became pregnant normally, he didn't have any artificial insemination. But she didn't, the zera wasn't niklat till after the husband died. So he was down about that.
That's Bein Inlo, isn't it? I mean, we don't know. We never know this.
So you wait. The woman is has to wait 3 months. She has to wait 3 months to see if she's pregnant or not. So maybe you'll see now that she's pregnant. And if you can ascertain she didn't become pregnant till after the husband died, how can you figure that out? How can you know the days of the Nadi Behuda? I don't know. But that's, he has a tshuva about that. He thinks that even in such a case, even if she became pregnant, after, he says, how would anybody know? You see that the woman is pregnant. So he thinks even if she became pregnant after the husband died, still, a ben yeshlo. So that's based on that, the Nadi Behuda. That's the deal. What about Bizman Hazeh?
And that be his child.
No. Let's say the woman didn't have an affair with anyone else. We know that it's his child. Anyway, so that's the Magen Mishnah. Magen Mishnah, beginning of Hilchas Yibum Chalitza, on the first page in the Rambam, has a long piece. Usually Magen Mishnah is pretty short. There it's very long. And he says that the Rambam Shita is that this whole din of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is only with the Rabbanim. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara says. We don't always pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara has this case. The husband died. That's the last line of Kuf Lamed Vav and Aleph going over to him base. The husband died and he has no other children, only this child. And the child dies within 30 days. So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the child died within 30 days, and it wasn't Yodua Shekolach Ashav. We at the time the baby was born, we didn't know whether it was a full-term pregnancy or not. We are not aware. We don't know one way or the other. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel claims, either Menaterim or the Rabban or whatever, he claims you have to, if the baby survives 30 days, then it's a Birur that it was that it's a chai. If the baby doesn't survive 30 days, you have no birur, so it's a suffix. So the woman will need chalitza misafik. So the Gemara says, what happens? The woman didn't know. The woman didn't know from these chachmas. So there was a baby. So she thought she's not supposed to. She didn't ask any shaylas. She didn't ask any shaylas. She had a baby. So she went and she got married to someone else. She's not supposed to get married to someone else. That's menekes chaverim. If you're nursing a little baby, you're not supposed to marry someone. Didn't ask any shaylas. So hol chovin is katsha. She got married to someone else. So who did she marry? See, if she did, so that's what he has on the top line, on kuf lamed vavam base. Im eshi sisrael hi, if she was mekabel kiddushin from a non-koyin, this koyin levi Yisrael. So if the man who married her is not a koyin, eshi sisrael hi, so we tell her, du chalitza. It's a koyin to Rav Shimon Gamliel. We pass him like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, since the baby died within 30 days, and it was not yodua shekola lechadosha, we don't know whether when the baby was born. We don't know whether it was a full-time pregnancy or not. So therefore it's a suffix. So you need chalitza misafik. So what's the great tragedy? If the husband who just was mekadosher is not a kohen, so he's allowed to marry a chalutza. What's this? So the woman is an almana. Her husband just died. So now she'll be a chalutza in addition to being an almana. She'll be a chalutza. So the world doesn't come to an end. But if she's kohen-y, what happens if she married a kohen when the baby was still alive? She didn't ask any shaylos. She goes, she gets married to a kohen. It's against the halacha. She's menekes chaver. She's nursing a little baby. You're not supposed to marry.
Maybe Rashi is saying, the advanced Rashi, Nechaz Man, in order to avoid that problem.
To avoid the problem of menekes chaver? No, menekes chaver, she has to wait till the baby is 2 years old. Machlok is 2 years old, or a year and a half, or 18 months, a year and a half. But Moshe is mekel if you wait a year and a half. It's also a difficult tshuva by Moshe. The Gemara sounds like it's rare. It's rare that you nurse a baby for 2 years. Today, nobody, hardly anybody nursed a baby for 2 years. But Pasha Pshat, Bizmanatanaim, also it was rare that they would nurse a baby for a full 2 years. It's rare today that you nurse a baby for a year and a half also. But still, the Gemara says that's the takana, that you gotta wait. It's a machlok zatanayim. We possibly have to wait till the baby's 2 years old. So she really shouldn't have gotten married. The baby didn't survive yet the whole month. The baby is only, let's say, two weeks old. And she thinks that she ben yeshlo, so she doesn't need any chalitza. She goes and gets married. See, if she marries a kohen. What? The goyza menekes chavero, because the Gemara says she may become pregnant from the new husband, and then when she becomes pregnant, so in the days of the Gemara, they used to nurse the babies for quite a while. It was rare to nurse for 2 years, but a year and a half was normal. So once she become pregnant from the new husband, then the milk is not going to be sufficiently nutritious for the first baby, from the first husband. So if I'm the husband, and the first baby is mine, and the second Uber is mine, I'm going to be concerned. Hey, I know that when she becomes pregnant with the second baby, so the nurse is not going to be, the milk is not going to be sufficiently nutritious, so I'll buy milk in the store. I'll give the wife money that she should buy milk to supplement the baby's nutrition. But if he's someone else, the first baby is not his. So he's not choshed to kill a baby. It's not choshed on shvichas damim. But since it's not his child, so he's not. We're afraid. Sofik pikuach nefashis, we bend over backwards to be choshish for every possibility. So since it's a far-fetched possibility that the husband who now made her pregnant with the new baby is not going to be paying attention to the old baby, and she wants to be nice by the husband, so she may want, it's her baby. It's my understanding, they're both her babies. So she wants to be nice, so she may be afraid to say that she thinks that the first baby is not getting enough nutrition. So the baby may die from malnutrition. So the Tanoim was so concerned about this far-fetched chashash, that's how the Chasam Sefer says, who nurses a baby 2 years, even Mizmana Tanoim wasn't so practiced, wasn't so normal. And what do you mean? The husband's going to let the baby die from malnutrition, and the mother of the baby's going to let him die. So he says, yeah, the Tanoim were choshish when it comes to Sofek Sakana. They bent over backwards. Any slight Sofek Sakana. So they made a loyplug that you're not allowed to marry until the baby is a year and a half old, until the baby is 2 years old. That's called Minekes Chavera. Yeah, so she did wrong. She did Kiddushin over here. She's not supposed to be Miskadesh. She didn't do the Nisuin yet. She didn't do the Nisuin yet. So here, Rabbi said, if she married the man who married her, is a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, but he's allowed to marry an Almana. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana. Here the woman's an Almana. The first husband died and he left a little baby who's 2 weeks old. So Kohen is allowed to marry an Almana, but he's not allowed to marry a Grusha and a Torah, he's not allowed to marry a Chalutza and a Rabbanan. So here, if you say, and then the baby dies within 30 days. So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you have a Chumra, that since the baby died within 30 days, and we don't know whether it was Kodol HaChadoshah when the baby was born in the first place, so we should really require Chalitza. If you're going to require Chalitza, then the husband won't be able to live, the one who has been Kaddish, won't be able to live with her, because Chalitza is Asur L'Kayin. So if she's an Eishes Kayin, if the one who married her is a Kayin, so we say you don't have to be Chayshish for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel himself would probably be Machmer even in that case. Even though he's only Midirabbanon, even though the Magen Mishnah says Shimon Gamliel's din is only Midirabbanon by the Shloshim Yom, but still he would probably be Machma all the way, even if she was Niskacha to a Kayin, that he would insist that you need Chalitz and the Kayin won't be able to live with her. But the Gemara says, we don't always pass on like Shimon Gamliel. In that case, since you're going to be Mafsed her from her husband, she was Makabel Kiddushin from the Kohen, so then we say we're Mekel, that you're not Machmer to wait to say that if the baby didn't survive 30 days, Igloi Muslim Afreya, that it's a Sufik Nefel. We say no, Rav Lodas are not a Nefel, and Shani, you forget about it. So the Gemara says that this Shaila was discussed by Rav in his Shir at night, and at night he said Lahachmer. And the next morning he thought it over. When he gave the shiur next morning, he backed out and he said, Lahokel. So someone was only there at night, and he said, Rav, I heard from Rav Lahachmer, that even if she married a Kohen, achazul, whether she married a Kohen or she married a Esau does make a difference. Choletza, she needs a Chalitza. She needs Chalitza, so the Kohen is going to have to divorce her. He's not allowed to live with a Chalutza. And then the other Amoraim said, but you weren't there in the morning when Rav said Lahokel. He changed his mind. So he was the Talmud who only heard the shir at night and didn't hear the shir in the morning. So he said jokingly, Shiri Suha, you were Mekel, you allowed her to remain with her husband. She doesn't need Chalitza. Hey, Rabbi, the Tishwa Tarba, the way they will come that you'll be Mata Chelev also. You Mata everything, you Mekel on everything. He liked the Chumrah, he liked Rava's Chumrah, that even if she married a Kohen, she's going to need Chalitza and she can't live with the Kohen. It'll ruin her second marriage to the Kohen. Yeah, so that's the whole relevance of this din of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.
The Ritva story is Tarcho.
The Ritva says what?
It's not Tarva, it's Tarcho. So like to be Matir a Grusha to a Kohen.
Okay. The way we have the Girsa, he's making fun. He says, hey, Rabbi, this expression appears in the Gemara in a few places. Hey, Rabbi, the Tishu Tarbra. Hope the day will come that you may mate chelov. So he says, no. A chalutza is asura me de rabbanon otu a grusha. So he said, if you'll allow this chalutza, if say that she does need chalitza, the day will come that you'll be mater a grusha lekoin. Here you're being mekel on a chalutza, the day will come be mater a chalutza. Okay. Interesting. Instead of tarbo means chelov. So he says he has the girsa chof instead of a base. So Terocha is a grusha. Yeah, here Tosis has a famous kasha, the top Tosis, a Moshe from Bohemia, top Tosis on Kuf Lamed Vav on the base. He's not quoted so often in Tosis. There were Balei Tosis in Bohemia. Yeah. So he asked the kasha, there's a Beferish Gemara in Yevamos that grusha asur lekain is a pasuk in Chumash. Chalutza asur lekain is only mid Rabbanan. So since it's only mid Rabbanan, so the din is a suffix the Rabbanan lekula. So if the woman is a suffix whether she needed the chalitza, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel didn't say it's a vada, he said it's a suffix. Again, what's the story? A woman was married, her husband died, they didn't have any children, they had only one child. Never had children before, no children, no grandchildren, no descendants living, only this one child. The child dies after the father died. The child died after 2 weeks. So Reb Shimon Gamliel would say, we don't know whether it was Kolach Hadasha when the child was born. So you have to wait 30 days. He has to be alive till 30 days to be in the Mevarer that it was Bar Kayama. And if the baby dies within 30 days, it's a Safek. So it's a Safek. Maybe you need Chalitza, maybe you don't need Chalitza. But the whole Dina Chalitza, Asur L'Kohen, to begin with, is only Midrabbanan. So it's only a Safek Chalitza. So what's up, Ben? Let her do the Chalitza, Misafek. And the Kohen will still be Mutter to remain with her. Because the Gemara says, Beferish and Yivamis, that says Safek Chalitza is Mutteris. So what's the whole problem over here? What's the whole problem? So the chalitza materis means b'di'evit. Let's say a woman did chalitza. In recent years, they keep on publishing about this. The Hakadonic Dishan is a giyoris is not allowed to marry a kohen. So what if you have a giyoris who is nizgayra p'chusim ibashol l'shanavi amechot? A family adopted a non-Jewish baby girl. And they were megar the baby, and they brought the child up as a Orthodox parent. They brought the child up as an observant person. So if a geyoris converts as an adult, and she already had tashmish with a nochri, so that's a din nivel al apostle apsala. If a Jewish woman or a non-Jewish woman slept with a nochri, so that's called a zayin. A zayin asur l'kain. What if you have a geyoris that you know bevadai was never nivel olakum? She was nizkayra p'chusim ibashal l'shanam yamechon. So Gemara has a machlekes satanoim and yevamos and a kiddushin. If geyoris she nizkayra p'chusim ibashal l'shanam yamechon, maybe she's materis l'kain. So we paskan asura. So the way we paskan asura l'kain is that a din deraisa is not only a chumer midirabban. So there are those who hold that it's only midirabban. The simple reading of the Gemara there is that it's a din deraisa. The Gemara is only afram psukim. So the Pasha Pshat is that the whole Gemara is not an Asmachta. Everything is an Asmachta in the Gemara. It sounds like it's a real Din D'Oraisa. So there were those who said, no, there are many Poskim hold that a Giyoris, Shelo Nivol Ala Akum B'Nochri Yuso, is only Asur L'Koyim Midirabbanon, and the Kohanim is Manazeh, are only Safik Kohanim. How do you know they're only Safik Kohanim? Because when they built the second Beis HaMikdash and they wanted to be Makriv Karbonah, so it says that Ezra HaKohen asked them, did they have a Ksav Yichas? Can they prove their ancestry that they're Kohanim? So I said, they have no Ksav Yichas, but they were always duchening in Bavel. They came back from Bavel after 7 years of Golda Bavel. They got their first Aliyah. And they did Pidyon HaBen, and they used to eat challah. So they used to observe all the dinim of Kohuna. So that's called a Kohani Chazaka. There's a Kohen Meyuchas, and this Kohani Chazaka. Kohen Meyuchas means he has a ksav yichas. So the Pasuk says in Ezra, Bikshu ksavam hamsyachsen v'lo matzo. They were searching for their ksav yichas, they didn't find it. V'negoalu min hakuna, they were rejected from kuna. Ezra didn't permit them to be makar karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. So for many generations, it was assumed that Kohani Chazaka, all the Kohanim today, most of the Kohanim today, are only Kohani Chazaka. The Kohani Chazaka are only Safek Kohanim. That's why you don't allow them to be makar karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. So just like if you have a vaday koyin and the woman is a sofik chalutza, it's mutter because sofik derabanan lekula chalutza is only awesome derabanan. So if you have a vaday chalutza and he's a sofik koyin, it's also a sofik chalutza. Why should it make a difference whether he's a vaday koyin and she's a sofik chalutza, or she's a vaday chalutza, he's a sofik koyin? And then they said, who are the nami over here? The giyoris asur lekoyin is only nivela benachri yusa. There's some Rashi's like that. Sounds from Rashi in a different place. Only Nivola ben Achri Yusa. The Lord Nivola ben Achri Yusa. So maybe Rashi sounds like he holds that the Gioris Asur Lekoin is only with the Rabbanon. So it's only with the Rabbanon. The fellow's only a Safik Koin to begin with. So it should be Safik the Rabbanon Lekul. So this logic is absolutely incorrect for two good reasons. First of all, the Gemara only says the Koin is Muta B'Safik Chalutza B'Dieved, if he's married already to the woman. He's already married to the woman, and then he realized, I made a mistake. This is a quote from Gemara, Kodmu v'kinsu. They did a Safik who's married to whom, and they did Chalitza to the both wives. Each of the people at Safik, who's the surviving brother of the one who died. So both of the women have a Safik Chalitza, and then both of the brothers-in-law, surviving brothers, did Yibum, and they're both Kohanim. So the Gemara says it's a Safik Chalitza. Because it's whether she needed a chalitza in the first place. So he already called mother kinsman. He already married her. He already did yibum. So b'di'evit, you say, leave it the way it is. You're not moitzi. You don't say, and this is teitze. But l'chatchila, you wouldn't say if the woman is a sadek halutzi, you wouldn't say it's mutter l'chatchila to marry her. That's mistake number one. The whole din of Tzafik Chalutz is materis, even in our Gemara, that Tosfos has the kasha, Moshe Mabiyam has the kasha, because the case was, Holchavin is kasha. She already married a kohen, so they're going to say he has to divorce her. So we say that Moshe Mabiyam has the kasha, even if you all like Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's only a Tzafik, whether she needs Chalitza or not. So she went ahead and she'll have Chalitza, it'll be a Tzafik Chalutza. And he's already married to her. So Tzafik Chalutza to a kohen, so you don't say teitzah. You don't say he has to get divorced. That's number one, that's wrong. Number two, the whole premise is wrong. This whole premise, early Achronim from the 1600s, the 1700s, used to assume like that, that whichever kohen is only a kohen chazaka, he doesn't have a ksav yichus, it's only a Tzafik kohen, and that's why Ezra didn't permit them to be makor karbanos on the Beis Hamikdash. But in the early 1800s, the attitude of the poskim changed, and they said that was a mistake, that was never correct. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he had this wild idea. He didn't realize that there was a mosque on the Makom HaMikdash. He never visited Eretz Yisrael, he never knew. So he said he had this wild idea that he sent a letter to Baron Rothschild that he should put up the money and they should build a Beis HaMikdash, and they'll be able to be makor karbanos, and he thought that he solved all the problems. And he wrote a whole kuntres, Drishas Tzion, how he solved all the problems. So one of the issues he has to solve is, you don't have enough kohanim yuchasim to run a Beis HaMikdash. So what good is going to do? You're going to build a Beis HaMikdash? You need a kohanim yuchas. So he was mecharish that the whole need for kohanim yuchas is only a chumer midirabbanon that was introduced by Ezra, min haTorah kohanim chazake arvadai kohanim. And the Chumim with the Rabbanim is only introduced Hecha de Efsher, when you have enough Kohanim, Yuchasim, to run the Beis HaMikdash without the Kohanim Chazaka. Oh, but Bizman Azeh, we hardly have any Kohanim Yuchasim. So you're going to be Machmir with the Rabbanim to Rebkar Kohanim Yuchas, and then you'll make it impossible to be Machmir with any Karbonis. Tzadka de Kach, the Chachamim would never introduce a Chumim. This was his suggestion. So he sent the whole countries. Risha Sin sent it to Rabbi Kivega, he was masking with it. The Rabbi Kivega sent it to the Chasam Sofer, who is his son-in-law, and he was masking with it. So from that time on, all the poskim assumed that Kohanim Chazaka Avadei Kohanim. They don't assume that the Tzafik Kohanim. They assumed that Avadei Kohanim means the Chumra Midrabbanim, not to allow them to be makor karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Hecha de'efsher, if you have other Kohanim who are miyuchasim, so let them do the hakrovus hakarbanos. But a mistake that they keep on writing in the newspapers and so on. The serious Rabbanim know that it's a mistake. That Kohanim today are not allowed to marry a Gioris, even if you should assume that it's only with the Rabbanim. Kohanim today are not considered Sofek Kohanim. They're Vadei Kohanim with the Chumer that they shouldn't be Makor Kohanim unless there's a Kohen Miyuchas. So let's get back again. So we start to talk. Mila Bizman is only Decha Shabbos if it's a Vada. If it's a Sofik, let's say Noilad Ben Ashmashis, so it's a Sofik if it's Mila Bishmini, so it's not Decha Shabbos, it's not Decha Yontif. And if you have 3 days in a row, in the Mishnais, we're written in Eretz, so where do you have 2 days Yontif in a row? So the only one you have is Rosh Hashanah. You have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and Shabbos 3 days in a row, and the baby was born Ben Ashmashis, so the bris can't take place until everything is all over. Nimol Yud Beis, how does the Mishnah say? Yeah, you have exact same Mishnah word for word. So that's one example of a Sofik if it's a Mila Zman, a Sofik Mila Shloi Zman. Then the Brisa gives another example of a Sofik, whether it's a Ben Zion or a Ben Ches. Where was that Brisa? The Tanya here, 4 lines from the top of Kuflam and Vav and Manalev. Hodatanya Sofik ben Zain Sofik ben Ches im Chalal and Olav es Hashabbos. If it's the days of the Tanoim, they assume that there are two types of pregnancies: a 7-month pregnancy and a 9-month pregnancy. 8-month pregnancy means that it's going to be a nephil, unless he survives till the age of 20. But in the days of the Tanoim, they assume that he's not going to survive till the age of 20. That's going to be miraculous if he does. Yeah, today, because of the incubator, so of course they survive. But so what if the if you have a suffix ben zayin, if the baby is a ben zayin, then he's a bar kayama, then the milah should be derech Shabbos. If he's a ben ches, it's a nefel, so a dead baby, even though it's going to be looks like he's nursing for the mother, it looks like he's functioning, we assume that it's a nefel, unless he survives till the age of 20. So if you don't know ben zayin ben ches, so the din is you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos because maybe you're just cutting up a dead baby. So that's what the Gemara effect Takasha. What if you have a piece of raw flesh and you cut it and it bleeds? So what's the malocha? We usually assume, what's the malocha if you mal a baby? So the malocha is the bleeding. What's the malocha bleeding? Ki adam, so Taisa says, ki adam hu anefesh, because the blood keeps the person alive. What if you have a dead animal and you cut it and the blood shoots out? So that's not ki adam hu anefesh, it's dead already. So if you have a ben ches, so what malocha are you doing? You're not doing any melacha. You're mechatech basa b'yalma. So that's what the Gemara asks. If you have a suffix, ben zayin, suffix, ben ches, how can the Braisa say that it's a suffix, so you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos? Why not mimanam shach? If it's a ben zayin, he's a chai, so the milah is derech Shabbos. If it's ben ches, he's a mei, so there's no melacha. So you're not doing anything wrong. So the Gemara says 100% right, that Braisa that gave that mashal, suffix, ben zayin, suffix, ben ches, one suffix is Narlat Ben Ashmashes. That's one kind of suffix. So you don't know whether today Shabbos and Yom Tov is the Milah B'Zmanah. So you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. But this suffix Ben Zayin, suffix Ben Ches, doesn't make any sense. You should be Mal Miman of Shach. So the Gemara says, you're right. That price only goes Aliba de Reb Lezer. The Gemara says five lines later. Reb Lezer holds you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos not only for the actual Milah, even for the Machshiri Milah. So the guy's going to go carry a knife and he's going to go manufacture a knife. What do you mean? It's going to come out that the Vlad is a nefel. So what did he manufacture a knife? The cutting with the bleeding, that's mutami maram shah. If he's a mei, so there's no malach. If it's a chai, so mila is man is decha Shabbos. But the machshiri mila is a real malach. And if it turns out that it's a ben ches, so you mechal Shabbos for no good reason. So the Gemara explains that brisa with that example, sofik ben zayin, sofik ben ches, is an example of a sofik mila bizman that's not decha Shabbos. That's only Aliba de Reb Lezer that he holds at the Machshirim Mila Decha Shabbos also. Yeah. What's another example of a Sufik that the Mila is not Decha Shabbos? So the Gemara gives another example. Mishi Eshlo Shtei Orlois. Where's the Gemara? Mishi Eshlo Shtei Orlois. I already forgot where the Gemara is. So what it means, Mishesh L'shtei Orlos, Rashi has two pshatim. Either the baby is born with two gidden. So you don't know, one of them is abnormal. So you're only supposed to do, you have to get a doctor to ascertain which one of the gidden is connected with the kishkas inside, which one is the Eva Hazachas. Let's say a baby is born with a gid over here, with an orl over here. So that's not a mila. So the two gidden, one of them is for real, one of them is a fake. So if you're going to cut both of them on Shabbos, you're being mechal Shabbos. One of them is not a real gid.
So,
why isn't that the boser? No, mechal boser is if it's dead. If the baby is dead, the child is dead. So you can't see ki adam hu anefesh. Yeah, but over here it's a living baby, and you got to do surgery to cut off one of the whole gidden that doesn't belong there. They'll take these kind of cases. Usually, take to Johns Hopkins. Whenever you have an androgynous all over the world, so they fly them into Baltimore. They ascertain whether it's a zocher and a kever, whether he has the X chromosome or the Y chromosome. That's a shaila whether the halacha recognizes that or not, because they more considers all the androgynism in the same boat. And Johns Hopkins now they don't assume like that. They assume if the baby has the Y chromosome, one is a zocher, one is in a kever. So do we accept what they say, do we not accept? Yeah. I don't know, Rabbi Tendler published an essay many years ago, 40 years ago about this, I forgot already what he said. It's a serious island. What's Taka did? I don't know. So anyway, so the Rashi has two pshat, and Mishayesh lo shtei orlus. One pshat is, the baby has one gid with two heavy orlus. We usually assume one orlus is the or orla, and then there's a thin membrane, that's the or apriya. What if the baby has two thick orlus? So Rashi learns that's one pshat. You have two orlus on the same gid, that's a suffix, which one is the real orla? Why don't you say they're both real orla? I don't know. Then the other pshat from Rashi was that the baby has two gidin. So that's a suffix, which is the real gid. So if you don't know which one is the real gid, then they're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So that's halach. Whenever you have a suffix, milu bismano, so then it's not the Shabbos. So then the Gemara has a shaila. What if the baby is nolad mohul? A tinek is nolad mohul. He doesn't have an orlo. Doesn't have any orlo. So there's one machloikas b'shamay misida on kuflam and hamanalf. The two versions of what there is a machloikas b'shamay misil, but there are a few versions. There are three versions as to what was the machloikas b'shamay misil. So one version has it. It's a machloikas nolad mohul where they need atofes dam briyasana. The other version is kuli amal apligi. They all agree b'shamay misil. Both agree you do need atofes dam briyas. They only argue whether this atofes dam briyas is decha shabbos or not. Is it a Vadlai or La Kvusha, or is it a Sufik or La Kvusha? Then the third version is, no, that the Machlekes B'Shamay Yisil doesn't go on a Tinoik. You can say by Tinoik, Norlad Mohul, they all agree, the Mila is Derech HaShabbos, they all agree, you don't need Mila, whatever. Machlekes B'Shamay Yisil is Gar on a Gersh, and is Gar Kishulmo, a non-Jew converted, and he had an Orla. When he was born as a baby, he had an Orla. And they removed it surgically, and now he wants to convert. So a mila on a zachar, a gerus on a zachar, let's say when you megayir in a kevel. So the din is you need kabbalas on mitzvahs and you need the tefillah and a mikveh. And bizman shabbes mikdush hayikayim, you needed that the giyori should bring a korban. Bizman hazeh, the Gemara says in Krisus, the korban is not miyakev. You mekabel a ger without a korban. What if you have a zachar? So then you need mila. What if you have a male who's nichras hagid? He's missing a gid. So Tosis writes, Nichras Hagid is Nizgayer like an Akeva. All he needs is Tefillah and a Mikveh. He needs Kabbalah Slam Mitzvah, he needs Tefillah and a Mikveh. He can't have Mila. So even if it wasn't Nichras Hagid, what if he had circumcision when he was a little baby? His parents were not Jewish. He was not Jewish. But they did a circumcision on him. So do you still need Atavas Dhamrit? Maybe you say, what are you going to accomplish? It's like Nichras Hagid. There's nothing to do Atavas Dhamrit. So that's the third version. That was the machlekes b'sham and b'sil. By a gershin is gar kishuhu mohul, that's 10 lines from the top of kuflam and amen aleph. The Gemara has there the three versions of what was. They knew there was a machlekes b'sham and b'sil, but by the time they're writing down the Talmud Bavli, which was quite a few years after, b'sham and b'sil were b'zman abayis. Hillel and Shammai were the chief rabbi and assistant chief rabbi in that order. Hillel was the nasi, and Shammai was the abezin. That was 100 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. That was before the Churban Bayis Sheni. And then they had Beis Shammai Beis Hillel during the Zman HaBayis, and then they had after the Zman HaBayis. So this is a few centuries later. So by the time the Talmud Bavli is written down, everything was transmitted orally. So there are three versions. They all knew there was Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about Atavas Dam Briz. There are three versions. One version was where they need Atavas Dam Briz by Noilad Mohul. The other version was, for sure you need Atavas Dam Briz Machlekes, whether it's a Vadai or La Kvusha, a Sofik or La Kvusha, whether the Atavas Dam Briz is Decha Shabbos. And the third version was, no, the Machlekes B'Shem Mitzil is by a Ger, Shenizgar Kishuhu Mohul, when he was born he had an Orla. Yeah. So what does it mean? Sofik or La Kvusha, Vadai or La Kvusha, what do the words mean? That's what we explained already. The Gemara tells a story that one of the Amoraim, it's in the middle, right in the middle of that daf, Kuflam and Haman Al. Ravada Barahava, Isyalale Ahuyanu Kishulmo. He had a baby boy, Noilad Kishulmo. He was born on Shabbos, and the bris is supposed to take place on Shabbos, but there's nothing to cut. He's Noilad Mohu. There is no Orla. So, Ahadre Atlesem Bahuloi, he took him to 13 different Moyalim. They say on the side of the Gemara that sometimes the Gemara says 13 is a Guzman, sometimes not a Guzman. Maybe he wasn't 13. Took him to a lot of Moilim. And they didn't want to do the Hatovs Dambris because of a Shabbos. They didn't want to do it. So the father felt it's his obligation. So he started fooling around. And he was not a Moil. So he injured his baby. Adeshavi Krushovcha. He injured the baby. He shouldn't have done it. He made the baby into Krushovcha. Now he can't be Moilid. And he's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. So he said about himself, Rabbi Barava said, Tesili, it's my own stupid fault, Avri Aderav. I violated Rab Shita, because Rab said, what was the Shaila? The Shaila was whether whether Noilad Mahol needs Hatofes Dan Bris or not. So the Gemara says, but even if you would have held like Shmuel, the Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel had a paskin over here. The Gemara says, why you only Avri Ad Rav? He violated Rav. Even if you hold like Shmuel, that Noilad Mahol needs Hatofes Dan Bris, but it's not Derech Shabbos, because it's a Sofek or the Kfusha. It's not a Vader or the Kfusha. So what does that mean? Vader or the Kfusha? Sofek or the Kfusha? Why did he make him a Krush Shavcha? What's going on? So we discussed it already. The Urza Ruah learns Pshat in the Gemara. Safek Ola Kfusha, he learns literally, maybe the outer layer of skin, maybe the outer layer of flesh on the tip of the gid is really Orla. So you have to cut off a layer of flesh from the gid. So that's why he made his baby into a Krushavcha. So nobody holds like that. The Rishonim hold like that. Nobody holds that Pshat. Hatofas Dam Bris? That doesn't sound like that. That's not Hatofas Dam Bris. Cutting off a layer of flesh. Safek Orla Kfusha, maybe that's really Orla. Maybe what looks like is the Besar Agid, maybe Orla. So that doesn't sound like the Pshat. So the Pshat is not we don't hold like that Orza Ruah. We don't hold like that Orza Ruah. When you do Atavas Namriz, it does mean you cut off a layer of flesh from the Gid. Of course, you're going to maim the baby. The only Shaykh is, you do Atavas Namriz. What do you mean Atavas Namriz? So the Minig Orlam is, you cut a little bit, you cause a little bit of bleeding from that place where the orla would have normally come out. There would have been orla growing from there, and if you would have done a bris to cut off the orla, it would have been bleeding a little bit. So now that the baby is born without any orla, so you should make a little nick over there, that is a prick, that should make a hatofes dan bris over there. So I mentioned the Chazon Ish holds that that's a mistake. That if there's no orla, so what are you cutting over there? So the Chazon Ish thought that you have to do, the meaning is not like the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish thought that you have to do a Tavas Dan Bris from the Gid, from the tip of the Gid. So it's a big machmer, but then he was Mekel on the other hand, and he said that the Gemara says that Mako Avi V'Imo, the Sugi is at the end of Sanhedrin, Mako Avi V'Imo is Chayv Misa, not only if he caused bleeding. The Gemara says not only if he caused bleeding, if he caused Nitzra Hadam. It's a Din of Malach HaShabbos also. If you cause an animal to bleed, so it's a malacha of chabura, chayvel. Chayvel is a malacha of netilas and shamet, as I said, malikotl kula, malikotl palga. So not only if you cause bleeding, what if you give a slap like this, and you have a black and blue mark? So black and blue mark means that some of the blood that was circulating in the arteries and so on is now nitzra hadam, and it's no longer going to circulate. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? But he caused the blood to leave the body. He caused blood to leave the circulatory system. That blood is now dead. So that's malikot l'kul and malikot l'pam. So the Chazon Ish said, if you take a needle and you put it, and you put it with pressure on your hand, so if you put it with enough pressure, it's going to bleed. You put it with less pressure, you'll have a red scrape. You have a red mark. That red mark means that it was nitzra hadam. So he says, you're yotze with that, hatofes dam bris, you don't need actually a tifas dam bris. If you cause nitzra dam, that's the equivalent. The Gemara says that by makah of v'imoy, if you cause nitzra dam, that's considered like bleeding. And the Gemara says, b'negeh to chayvel on Shabbos, chayvel is a malach on Shabbos, if nitzra dam is also. So the Chazon Ish thought, by hatofes dam bris, also enough. So that's, we can accept that part of the Chazon Ish without accepting the other part. The Chazon Ish had a chumrah. He thinks that you do have to do Hatavas Dam Bris on the Besar Gid. So the Minig Olam is that they do the Hatavas Dam Bris on the place where the Orla would have been growing. Some of the big Moilim who know what they're doing will do a Nitzra Hadam. They'll make a little scrape, a half an inch or less, a quarter of an inch, and they'll cover both the location where the Orla would have normally been growing from, and a little bit on the tip of the gid. So they'll cause a seret dak, to use the language of the Chazon Ish, a seret dak, a little line, a red line, on to satisfy the minhag ha'olam, that everybody, not a question of a minhag, but a question of a din. Were you supposed to do this out of his number? So the Chazon Ish disagrees with the minhag ha'olam that you do it where the orlo should have grown out from. So if you make a seret dak, a half an inch, you can satisfy the both opinions. So what's the shad and the more? Whether vadai or the kvusha, suffolk or the kvusha. If you say like the Urza the Ruah, so we understand you have to peel off an outer layer because there may be or the kvusha. Wow. But that's a wild. Nobody does like that. So we don't follow that Urza the Ruah. So what does Hatavas Dan Bris got to do with vada or the kvusha, suffolk or the kvusha? So we said over, Absolvechik said over the pshat from the Avdei Nezer in his chubas on Hilchas Mila. So on Chelik Yeridan. So he says, when you do Atofes Dambris, let's say you're going to cut from the pinky, you're going to cut from the toe. That's not Atofes Dambris. Atofes Dambris has to be from the right place. So what do you mean the right place? But this baby doesn't have any Or HaOrlo. So there is no right place. It's whatever you're going to do is going to be in the wrong Mokum. So that's what the Gemara is clearing. When the baby was a fetus inside the mother's body, should we assume that and in the initial stages of development, it was going to develop with an Or HaOrlo, and then something changed later, and the Or HaOrlo didn't grow? In which case you have, there's a makom. This makom, and we're going to make the seradaka, we're going to make the atavas dam. This is the makom where there should have been atavas dam bris. When there's a tree, you can't do mil, you can't do priya, but every bris has three parts. Mil, priya, atavas dam bris. And now you do the third part, atavas dam bris. So should I say, no, mechadesa? Why should you assume that there's an orla kvusha, that there was orla kvusha? Kvusha means that there should have been, in a state of fetus, theoretically would have developed a whole orla, and then something happened later and it didn't develop. So then you say, there's a mokum to do atavas dambris. So the other opinion holds, there's no orla kvusha. Vezokt, from day number one, when this fetus was developing inside the mother's body, this fetus wasn't going to have any orla. So there's no mokum to do any atavas dambris. What even going to do a tafas dam over there? But again, by the place we should have, it doesn't count. It would not. This baby was never oimed even in the early stages of the development. It wasn't oimed to have any orla. So if you're going to do a tafas dam over there, it's like doing from the heel, like doing from the belly. If there is not tafas, so that's what the Gemara says. If it's a vaday orla kfusha, then it's a vadoy that there's value to the hatafas adam. That's the third part to the bris. So then it's even derech Shabbos. But if you hold there's only Sufik or Lakfusha, maybe no. Maybe in the beginning of the pregnancy, in the very beginning, it was Oymit to develop an Or HaOrla, and just something changed later on. So if it's a Sufik, then the Sufik is not Deicha Shabbos. Different examples of Sufik not being Deicha Shabbos.
This is theoretical paper that he's making up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We can never find out. I mean,
we'll never know, yeah. So it's a medical machloikas.
Medical machloikas. Give me an example. Maybe such a thing doesn't even exist, but we don't know that.
Enochinami. Yeah. Yeah. How do we paskin halacha lemaisa? By noilad mohu. Do we paskin? You do need a tovus dambris. You don't need a tovus dambris. How do you paskin me'agir habola his guy? So Tosis quotes the halachas gedolus, and he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. The last line in the Tosfos Kuflam and Hamad Aleph, Diram Schala Nechluku. So the last line they wrote, Rabbeinu Chananel Pasak Ipcha Me Halachas Gedolus. Punkt Faker. One of them says, By Ager Habolis Gair, the Halachas Gedolus says, By Ager Habolis Gair, you do need Hatovs Dambris. And by the Tinoik Nolan Mo, you don't need. And the Rabbeinu Chananel Paskins Faker. By the Tinoik, you do need, and by the Gair, you don't need. So Misofig, we always require Hatovs Dambris. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll end it tomorrow. We'll continue.